When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you're unable to catch us there, we're in podcast form the very next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you consume us, make sure you do the basic things: rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today, we're going to do something a little different because it is June. We are in don't get arrested season. Thankfully, nobody on the Vikings has been arrested yet. So golf clap for that one early in the off season. But we've done this last couple of years where we go back in time and we watch an old game. And on cue from, what was it, The Ringer?
Yeah, they have a whole rewatchables show and they do go back and look at movies. So this is just kind of playing on that, but it's just the Vikings version.
Yeah. So we go back, we watch an old Vikings game, and then we come on here and see how it holds up. We don't really have an official rule on how long it takes until we review a game. We kind of discuss this. I think 5 years on air production is a good time to.
Yeah. So this would be 5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, you take an exhale. You know, you look back, you see some names that you might remember. Mm-hmm. You see a memorable game. Maybe it set the franchise back a few years. Hint, hint. But today's game is the 2019 wildcard game between your Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. Before we start, Adam, what did you remember about this game between the Vikings and the Saints?
I think before I watched it, I think some of the initial memories are the catch by Thielen in overtime. Obviously, the game-winning touchdown catch by Kyle Rudolph. I remember Dalvin Cook having a good day. I remember Diggs throwing his helmet. And I remember Zimmer putting Everson and Daniil on the inside of the defensive line. And that's pretty much it. So a bunch, like rewatching this reminded me of a bunch of stuff that was happening in the game and kind of stuff that was happening outside of the Vikings too, because there's coaches involved in this game that are no longer there on both sides. And they've all gone on to different places. So it was cool to kind of see how much stuff has changed in just, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
I remember how tense this game made me. This is for the people who don't
game.
Know. Yes. Yes.
Every game.
Every game. But this is the last playoff game the Vikings won, 2019, yeah. Which is kind of surprising when you consider how long the current wave of players were there. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I remember a lot of things, like you said, outside of the game. I remember the lead up to it. And I remember, too, that this 2019 Vikings team wasn't, they were very Denny Green-ish, right? They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook because I remember having the Homer Horn podcast, RIP, talking about this team and being like, maybe they could be like the 1987 Vikings and they weren't so good during the regular season. But then they came in and they won at New Orleans. They won at San Francisco. And then Darren Nelson dropped the pass in Washington. That's the path. We just got to get there. And of course, we all know what happened from there. But that's basically what I remember going into it.
Yeah, always. I think the expectation for this was there wasn't really any expectations for the Vikings. I don't even think Vikings fans thought they were going to win. The Saints were very good that year. They were the top seed in terms of, I think they won 12 games, and they were the top seed behind, what, the Niners that year? Or the Packers, one of those two teams. So the Saints were good, and they were playing at home, and nobody expected them to lose. I think they were favored by probably at least a touchdown. It was just interesting to watch again and see. Like, this was a Mike Zimmer game. This was not a Kirk Cousins game. This was not a Diggs game. This was a Mike Zimmer game.
I was surprised when I looked up the final score, and it was 26-20, because it seemed like it was a lot lower scoring than that. Yep. To quote the great Chris Boyd, it was a tight butthole game where you were just watching it and you were just like, well, that was a weird sound effect to match with that description, but how about we get going then? Yeah. Now that I've completely weirded everyone out, the backstory, we always start with a backstory. That way we know what was going on. This was the third game of the Vikings and Saints rivalry that took place between 2009 to 2019. Some would say it's still going, but it's definitely a little less since Sean Payton left. This would be the third playoff meeting in a decade dating back to 2009. The first meeting, of course, the 2009 NFC Championship game, which is Bounty Gate. I don't know if you watched the full broadcast like I did. Mm-hmm. But I did laugh at Joe Buck recalling that game, being like, that was one of the most fun championship games ever. They knocked Brett Favre all over the turf. I wonder why they did that. Mm-hmm. There was a little.
That's when people didn't like Joe Buck. I think people have a slightly different opinion on him now. I don't know if all of Vikings fans like him, but there's definitely more than there was in 2009.
I think the miracle helped him. I think a lot and he's been on shows too where he's like, hey, look, in the heat of the moment, there's actually a really good theory on why Joe Buck called Randy Moss's mooning celebration.
He thought he was actually taking his pants off,
and he thought he was wiping his ass on the goalpost.
Right,
that's so, what Tom Pelissero said.
He's wearing white pants, and I think it would be kind of obvious if he was taking his pants off, but yeah.
Yes, there's an indicator
for another discussion.
Yes, you can go back. That was actually the last one we did. Yep. Was the 2004 wild card game. The second meeting, of course, another rewatchable. It was the 2017 NFC divisional round game, also known as the Minneapolis Miracle. So we have Bounty Gate, we have Minneapolis Miracle. If this game had a name, what would you call it?
I have no idea. Just the push off game, but that would be that's the Drew Pearson game, right?
The Drew Pearson game nationally is known as the Hail Mary game. That was the first Hail Mary, but Vikings fans know it as Drew Pearson pushed off.
I have no idea for a nickname for this game. It would just be the unmiraculous miracle in New Orleans. I don't know.
I would call it, and this is a bit of a spoiler, the $100 million throw.
Oh, wow.
Because that throw made Kirk Cousins a lot of money from not one regime, but two regimes and a different team, as we've seen with $180 million. Like, we'll get to Cousins' performance in the game, but I mean, that's basically what it is to
me. A lot of former Vikings played this was their last playoff game or last playoff win with the Vikings.
This was the last run of the 2019 core or 2017 core, really.
Yeah, 2015, 16, 17, all those guys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and technically it wouldn't be their last game because they played one in San Francisco.
Last playoff win.
Yeah, playoff win. There we go. Okay. Yeah, get it right. Come on. Let's go, Adam. the 2019 Vikings. Kirk Cousins, second year in Minnesota. Kevin Stefanski was your offensive coordinator. They started the year 6-2 before going to Kansas City and losing to the Chiefs. And I mean, that's totally understandable. I mean, you go to Kansas City and it's a wild environment. And I mean, the Chiefs have that more.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, was it a screen or just like a little cross that Tyreek Hill caught and took you to the house?
Tyreek Hill did his thing. And
No, he was blocking. Was it a run?
Was it Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Somebody was running down the sideline, and Tyreek Hill was
running with him,
20 yards behind, and caught up to him and ran to the end zone with him. I remember that. Okay. Yes,
it might have been Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
No, I don't think
he was a rookie.
I think it was somebody else though. I'm pretty sure, but we'll see. So while you're looking that up, the Vikings went in. Oh, that was also a game, by the way, that Adam Thielen suffered a hamstring injury and he missed five games. So that kind of threw a wrench in the Vikings offense. The Vikings went into the bye week 8-3. Kirk Cousins had a 20-0 comeback against the Denver Broncos. You know, they lost a Monday night game against the Packers in week 16. They basically booked a one-way ticket to the New Orleans. And Mike Zimmer was, you know, some people have the hot seat. Mike Zimmer was on a raging volcano because this, if TikTok wasn't a thing back in early 2020, like once COVID hit, everybody was bored and was like, what's this TikTok? Let's do it. This was the 2019 version of top five trade destinations. Dust Jefferson, we gonna put him, top day trade destinations. Mike Zimmer, Jerry Jones, the coach. We gonna put him.
I mean, it would have been Stefon Diggs.
Exactly. This year. Yes, it would have been.
Probably already was.
But. Here's a timeline because I looked it up. December 28, 2019. NFL's Ian Rappaport suggests the Cowboys could trade for Mike Zimmer. He was under contract, so the Vikings couldn't just hire him. Or excuse me, the Cowboys. December 29, 2019. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio names Zimmer as an option for the job prior to the regular season finale. No word if it didn't happen. He was like, I knew that they were going to trade for Mike Zimmer. It just didn't happen.
Did a moving crew tell Florio?
Yeah, the moving crew tipped him off and they unfollowed him on Twitter. Mike Zimmer's burner.
Mike Zimmer's his dip dealer. Did he tell him Florio?
Yes.
What's going on?
The Quick Trip clerk was just like, hey, Zimmer was in. He got like a case of Red Man. January 1st, 2020. Happy New Year. Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson throws out the idea of Lincoln Riley, who was the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners at the time, getting the Cowboys head coaching job and hiring Mike Zimmer as a defensive coordinator. And then 2 days later, ESPN's Dan Graziano notes that the Vikings could go with a different head coach and, quote, could take a run at Zimmer. He also noted Dan Campbell as a possibility as he is a former Cowboy. So it's an interesting way to think about it. Anyway, all of this happened and the Wilfs were like, no. They came out and gave Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman the dreaded vote of confidence. We value Mike and GM's Rick Spielman's leadership, and we have every intent of Mike continuing as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Rick leading our football operations next year and beyond. How much danger do you think Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman really were heading into this game?
I think if the Vikings lost this game, Mike Zimmer would have been gone. I think they would have fired him and made Stefanski the head coach. I don't know if Spielman would have left. I think they would probably give him another shot because the roster was still pretty good. But yeah, I think Zimmer would have been gone. Just the way things, now looking back, we know how things, you know, evolved and turned out badly towards the end there. I think Zimmer would have been gone. And who knows if he would have landed with the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure he probably would have, especially if he was fired, because they probably would have liked him better than Mike McCarthy. Who knows? But yeah, I think Mike Zimmer probably would have been fired if the Vikings lost this game against the Saints.
I tend to agree. George Payton was also rumored to be an heir apparent in this situation. Yeah, that one, you want to talk about disasters. Like, how bad would have that regime have been?
I don't know, because I like Stefanski. He just got an extension with the Browns. So he's I think he's the first Browns coach to get an extension since Belichick. So that's like 34 years. That's impressive,
yeah.
So he's actually doing a good job on there. I think he would have done a good job in Minnesota because he was just there for so long and everyone liked him. But yeah, I'm happy looking, you know, hindsight is 2020, but I'm happy Peyton wasn't named the GM of the Vikings, because it seems like just doesn't really know what he's doing. And now he's with the guy from the other sideline, Sean Payton, who seems to be just running the show himself anyways. So it's just weird how things work out and how they've turned out since this game. There's just like so many tentacles going in so many different directions that you can just trace back to this game.
On the other sideline, the 2019 Saints, they were the NFC South champions of the world at 13-3. Many believe that we were headed toward a Green Bay New Orleans matchup in the divisional round. That's kind of what everybody nationally wanted to see. Saints won 7 of their first 8 games, lost to the Falcons, proceeded to win 6 of their 7 final games. They were coming off of 2 straight years of just straight up getting kicked in the balls in the playoffs. The Minneapolis Miracle, of course, And then the year after, Nickel Roby Coleman delivered a crossbody block that should have got him an NXT contract. That was not called pass interference in the 2018 NFC Championship game. By the way, keep that in mind, because pass interference was reviewable in 2019 because of it. They did it 1 year, and then they're like, we don't want to do this. We don't want to handle this anymore.
Do you remember who was the Saints quarterback the first five games of the season?
Well, it Teddy,
Drew,
right?
It wasn't Drew Brees. It was Teddy. I think they went 5-0.
Yeah, So did Brees start the season and get hurt?
I don't think so, but I don't want to.
And was that the year that Teddy got
he re-signed with them.
Because, yeah, he signed with the Jets after
they traded
the 2017 season.
Yeah, they traded him to the Saints, and he just re-signed with the Saints.
During training camp.
Because he wanted to be with Drew Brees.
Bad learning tree.
Teddy was with a lot of good quarterbacks. Did he play? I would think so. The first game, they had 510 total yards, so that would lead me to believe that they... Drew Brees played week one, so he must have got hurt in that first game or that second game, and Teddy came in and filled in for him. You know what? He did get hurt against the Rams, I think, the following week, and Teddy came in and filled in for him.
So 40-year-old Drew Brees, he's on the verge of 41 during this game, and his thumb his thumb was falling off and his shoulder was falling out of its socket. Not exactly a good combo for a quarterback. And by the way, Sean Payton was still an asshole at this juncture.
Still is.
Outside of the Packers, like, is there any team that you can remember that had so many players and people that you just hated than this group of Saints?
I mean, the 2009 Saints team.
Okay, sure.
there's a lot of reasons to hate a lot of people on that team.
Like, every time I still see Jonathan Vilma on, like, broadcasts, I'm just like, go to hell, dude.
Also, he's terrible, so. But, yeah, the Saints, just their whole demeanor, like, you know what. It's kind of like the Lions are now. I feel like they have a similar mentality of just, like, trying to take everyone's head off no matter what. They play really physical. People will be like, that's football. But sometimes, you know, they take it a little too far. They push the, you know, they see how far they can push the button or whatever, or see how far they can bend the rules without getting in trouble. You know, you got guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Cameron Jordan, Alvin Kamara sometimes gets a little crazy. Michael Thomas isn't quiet. This was actually probably like his last good game for Michael Thomas. He's been MIA since this game.
People are thinking we should sign Michael Thomas now too, which that's like a big old not to get current for a minute, but I will. The current, like, hey, the Vikings need a third wide receiver. It's like, you're a South Park fan, right?
Sort of. I've seen a bunch of clips.
Do you remember the member berries?
I don't.
So basically, I can't remember the whole episode, but Randy finds these things called member berries, and, like, he eats them, and, like, they're just, like, nostalgia. So, like, talk to him, and they're like, hey, remember Chewbacca? Like, that's basically every third wide receiver. Remember Hunter Renfrow? Oh, I loved Hunter Renfrow. He won my fantasy league.
I was just going to say Hunter Renfrow would be better than Michael Thomas, because at least he's kind of decent. Did he play for the Raiders last year? Yeah, he did, I think.
You wouldn't have noticed. I don't know. Like, anybody that they bring in, I'm just going to be like...
Yeah, but, like, are they really going to be that much better than Brandon Powell or Jalen Naylor?
This isn't fucking Madden. Like, this is... Oh, Michael Thomas still has a 79 overall. Bring him in here. Let's go. No. That's my little...
Case Keenum, bring him back.
Yeah. I listed a couple of hateable Saints at this time. Jordan, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Sean Payton, and Taysom Hill.
I was really reminded about that in this.
That guy made a lot of money in this game too. Teddy Bridgewater was there. He had the, you know, not to keep going with adult cartoons, but he had the, like, Santa's Little Helper thing. Like, there's an episode he ran away and Mr. Burns found him and he, like, pried his eyes open, and it was just like a clip of, like, dogs, like, getting punished.
I've always found it so annoying that Cam Jordan was, like, a jerk or whatever whenever he played the Vikings, because, like, your dad played for the Vikings for so long. You should, like, be nice.
And he hated Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, hated him. Now he gets to play him twice a year. Like, he's probably hyped, but
it was just always funny because I'm like, isn't your dad in, like, the Ring of Honor? it was recent, I think, that he just got put in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
He's just always a jerk whenever he plays the Vikings, always making comments, like you said before, they play the Vikings about, like, oh, Kirk Cousins is soft, and then he beats you in the playoffs.
Yeah, there is that. Kirk Cousins 2-0 against Cam Jordan in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Just no. 1-0. So that was the only playoff win. Right. Cam Jordan's 0-2 against the Vikings, I should say, because
in London, the London game. That's yes. he was talking trash before that game too.
Oh, okay. I guess I was thinking playoff games, but it all makes sense.
Yeah.
The game itself.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, let's start the game here. 22 minutes of the podcast. We're rolling here. Adam Thielen fumbles on the opening drive.
Yeah.
And Pat Elflein had a false start. That name makes my blood boil.
Didn't get called, though.
Yeah, exactly. So Pat Elflein gets a false start. The officials miss it. And basically, the play goes on, and the Saints score a field goal.
Yep.
The big thing here is the defense made a stop because that was one of the big themes of the game.
Yep.
Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin had the game of their lives. Griffin lined up on the interior to produce pressure on a stop late in the first quarter. He did it several times during the game. Hunter finished with 5 tackles, 1.5 sacks, a pass deflection, and a forced fumble. Griffin had 3 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and 3 quarterback hits. Andrew Sendejo was playing in the slot out of necessity because Mike Hughes broke his neck, and Mike Zimmer's like, why aren't you not playing?
Did Mackenzie Alexander get hurt too? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Was that this, like, the week before? They played him.
He got
hurt against the Bears or something. Yeah.
Yes. They put him out there in that meaningless game against the Bears, and he got hurt too.
Yeah.
So just a gong show. How much do you think Mike Zimmer's game plan saved his job that day?
Oh, and it definitely saved his job because he switched a lot of things up. Especially on defense with line Everson and Neal up on the inside, because that totally caught the Saints off guard, which I look back and I'm like, why did they catch you guys up? They just moved guys like over a few spots. Why is something so simple like that? Like
Brian Flores does that every week.
Yeah, head coaches in the NFL are like, oh, threw us off the whole game. We couldn't figure it out. They moved him 2 inches over and we couldn't figure it out. But yeah, that was a big part of it. Cause Everson, he had a ridiculous spin move, I think, when they first tried it, and just annihilated the guard, just made him look silly. It was vintage Everson Griffin, probably like the last true vintage Everson Griffin performance we probably saw from him. And then with the defense in terms of coverage, I looked it up. The Vikings only had 12 pressures, so they were pretty much like in coverage and only rushing for 5 sometimes. They weren't really doing he wasn't really doing his traditional A-gap blitzes on third down. It was just kind of just switching up the defensive line. He used a lot more defensive linemen to keep the line fresh. I remember a bunch of times like Ifedi Odenigbo being in there, and Stephen Weatherly, and all world Shamar Stephan was in there a couple times.
Real deal, Shamar Stephan. I'm gonna tell you right now for all of you doubting it.
So there was some, like, it was kind of Zimmer just throwing the kitchen sink, because he was just like, fuck it, like, if we lose, then I'm out of a job anyway, so who cares? And it worked out for him. He got, an extension. He's still getting paid from that extension, I believe. And the Vikings won, so it worked out for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Zimmer made money. Kirk Cousins made money. So did Taysom Hill, because he was a 29-year-old special teamer, but he was also somehow the quarterback of the future in New Orleans.
Didn't Sean Payton say he was going to be like an all-pro or Hall of Famer?
Something like that.
There was some weird quote with it.
Yeah. I mean, Teddy goes there and he's like, yeah, this is my chance to start. No, Taysom Hill. What? That guy, he's a tight end. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
That tight end threw a 50-yard pass to Deontay Harris play, threw a key block on an Alvin Kamara touchdown run. That made it 10-3. Missed the Dan Bailey field goal in there, which honestly is good enough to celebrate. There was another field goal Dan Bailey had, and it was like, when you're playing,
it didn't look like it was going in.
Yeah, when you play NCAA and like you look at the wind and you're like, okay, let's see what we got here. But you're like super close, so you're like, it won't matter. And it gets way closer than you intended to. That's basically what Dan Bailey's
Dan Bailey, he didn't miss a field goal kick or extra point in the playoffs this year. Nailed them all. So he made he finished the season with like 23 straight kicks, 24 straight made kicks. And then the Vikings are like,
Do you think Dan Bailey or Mike Zimmer went home in the offseason and just like, my kicker was too good, I got to break him. I got to break him and make him tougher.
Did they bring him back?
They brought him back for 2020.
That's right.
Because he had that Buccaneers game where he missed like six field goals.
Oh, yeah.
And like, not just missed, like, are you drunk?
Was that the summer where they tried to trade for the Ravens?
Oh, Corey Vedvik. I think that was before. No, it wasn't all 2019. It was before all of this.
Okay.
Vedvik was 2018, because I remember that because...
Kyrvik.
Was he?
He was... Let's see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was before, because he ended up with the Jets in 2019. Yeah. So it was before.
Okay. He could kick and punt, but he can't do either well.
Yeah, they traded him to the Vikings before 2019. So I think they were trying... Because they signed Dan Bailey in 2018 after they cut Carlson. And I guess they were trying to see if this Vedvik kid could replace Dan Bailey, and he did not.
The answer was no. Marshall alum, I believe.
Yep.
But
yep.
Yes. Not as famous as the other Marshall alum we all know for the Vikings.
I think he's from Norway. He should have worked out. He's a legit Viking. So
yeah.
Yeah. Didn't work out.
You just got to get the dudes who look like Vikings, like TJ Hockenson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look like the logo. We'll trade for you. Dalvin Cook was incredible in this game, though.
Oh, yeah.
This was the year the start of his shoulders issues began to pop up. And I think with a lot of players in this core, time kind of diminished my opinion of them. Like Kyle Rudolph, great A human. Great. Like I want to emphasize that before I get into that, because I think a lot of people will be like, hey, how do you hate Kyle Rudolph? And I'm like, no, like Kyle, like the end zone at the Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital. Yeah. Awesome. Like our friend of the show, Eric Thompson, his daughter had a scare a couple years ago. She had to use that. And Eric has this big article about what the place is about and everything else. I think that stuff's good. And he's a grade A human as far as like businessman / football player. Not my favorite Viking. I even have some like residue from like Harrison Smith. Everybody loves Harrison Smith. And like, sometimes I'm just like, this dude's kind of an asshole. Like, part of it's just like the game of football. Like Cam Dantzler messes up his assignment. Yeah. He's going to be pissed off. But I mean, I think sometimes too, there's just kind of this grumpy old man to him a little bit. So
for sure.
I don't know. Like the players, like once they take that, like if I'm standing there, like doing an interview with him, I'm sure he's not an asshole.
But did you see Harrison Smith's reaction to the new, the whiteout uniform?
Yeah, I did.
When he was like, super cool.
Super neat. It's like the Jokic video. Yeah,
everyone's like,
he's like, I thank you. Thank you very much. I do not care.
Pretty much.
But it's, I mean, like, Dalvin Cook towards the end, like, you know, you kind of got things got ugly. Like it was like the Thielen thing and even the Cousins thing to a degree where, you know, these split ups don't happen all that amicably. And from, I believe this was the first year Cook took off because he had the torn ACL in 2017, the hamstring injury in 2018. Kevin Stefanski designs the offense around him in 2019. He goes on to his first Pro Bowl and he has four straight 1,000-yard seasons. Only Adrian Peterson and Robert Smith have been able to do that. And you saw in this game the explosiveness, the elusiveness. That's what made Dalvin Cook such a great running back. And it really kept the Vikings in this game because Anthony Harris comes up with an interception in the 2-minute warning. Dalvin Cook scores and the Vikings go to the locker room with a 13-10 lead.
Yep. Yeah. I just looked it up. They didn't release Dalvin Cook until June 2023.
Yeah.
Waited so long. Because I think they're trying to trade him. And then everyone's like, we don't want to pay him $12 million a year.
Right.
Which is hilarious to look at now. Cause like that's with the salary cap and everything. That's just the norm.
That was the whole like Alexander Madison, Gordon Bombay turn.
Yeah. That's when they re-signed him.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's our RB1. It's like, but Dalvin's still on the roster. but yeah, Dalvin, actually, it's funny we talk about Madison because he also, I think they both returned from injury this game because they were out the previous few games before this. Dalvin got hurt, I think it was against the Chargers when they played in that soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. So they were both back. I know Dalvin was wearing that shoulder harness or whatever in this game, which he probably should have just worn his whole career. And they both looked like, even Madison had a couple 15-yard gains.
Yeah.
Like he looked that, you know, Kevin O'Connell probably watched this game and was like, oh, look, he can be RB1. Look at that. He can do that. And then, no, he can't. So, but yeah, Dalvin Cook, I think you could argue top three running back Vikings all time. I think a lot of people put Chuck Foreman ahead.
Yeah.
Because Chuck Foreman was ridiculous. I think, was he an MVP? I don't think so. He was all pro. I know that at least. But his season, his career was cut short by like brutal knee injuries and stuff. So
Chuck Foreman, the father of the spin move too.
Yes, spin doctor.
He was one of the first players to use the spin move, and then others perfected it. But if there's a Mount Rushmore, you know.
And I want to say he led the league 1 year in receiving. Chuck Foreman didn't, because he had like 90 catches.
Yeah. He was like a future style player.
He was like Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, in 1970. Like freaking wild. So Dalvin Cook scores.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Go to the locker room, up 13-10. They had the lead because Will Lutz missed a field goal right before halftime. It was his first miss in 18 attempts. And this quote from Zimmer at halftime, we need Dalvin Cook to win this game, which that's interesting.
A certain wide receiver didn't like that, probably.
Yeah.
A certain quarterback.
Probably a certain quarterback who, when people talk about like game managers and stuff, like I would throw on this game, like, this is what a game manager looks like. This is how Kirk Cousins played, because we know the story. First year in Minnesota, he goes with John DeFilippo. It's pass all over the place. Mike Zimmer hates it. DeFilippo gets fired. Kirk makes mistakes. They basically, like, Kevin Stefanski basically put the bumpers out for him. Like, you know, when a kid like throws it in the gutter, like, you have kids, you've taken your kids bowling.
Yeah. They what was it? The second game of the year, they passed 10 times against the Raiders.
Yeah.
They didn't have to. They were blowing them out, but
it was straight bumper bowling in 2018.
Diggs and Thielen are like, what the heck? We got incentives. Like, let's go.
Yeah. It was the lowest passing total during his time in Minnesota, 3,603 yards. Yep. His lowest touchdown total, 26 touchdowns. But hey, his lowest interception at total as a Viking.
You could argue that it was his best season as a Viking.
Yes.
He was definitely, I would say, more efficient. It just looked like he was making better decisions with the ball. I don't know if that's Kevin Stefanski's doing, the way the plays were designed, but it just looked like Kirk Cousins like wasn't running around with his head, you know, wasn't a chicken running around with his head cut off out there. It looked like he knew what he was doing, actually, which you couldn't say. I don't think you could say in 2018, 2020, 2021, 2022, maybe half, because he figured out the offense halfway. And then, you know, last year, the first half of last year, he was playing very well, but then he got hurt, obviously.
Yeah. Second highest success rate in this season, too.
Yeah, he was very good.
50.4%. Like you mentioned, this drove his receivers up a wall, though. most notably, Stephon Diggs, who criticized the offense and said there's truth of all rumors when it came to his future in Minnesota. And this game probably put the final nail in the coffin because he didn't have a target in the first half. He did have a wide receiver pass, which that
he kind of has a sack.
Yeah, that was a galaxy brain moment there. But Diggs finally lost it in the third quarter. He threw his helmet on the sideline, and Troy Aikman scolded him like a very disappointed father,
like a former quarterback would.
Yes, there.
I think his words were like, you know, like Cousins already has enough to deal with in this, you know, high intensity playoff game. He doesn't need a wide receiver, you know, chirping at him to get the ball. But he also didn't have a target.
Yeah.
And he's the 1A, 1B wide receiver. And Thielen, I think, had like 5 or 6 at that point.
How much do you think this game tarnished Stephon Diggs's time in Minnesota?
I think it played a part because of throwing the helmet and complaining on the sideline. But if you watch it further, you see that him and Kirk Cousins are talking through it and they're like working it out. And Cousins is like, hey, dude, calm down. I'll get you the ball. And he did. He had 2 catches for like 19 yards. He also had 2 rush. He had as many catches as rushing attempts in this game. So I'm sure that's what he wanted. But also, go look at Stephon Diggs' stats in the playoffs. They're not very good, even with the Bills. Like, teams just shut him down, and they were like, all right, throw it to anyone else. And that's what the Vikings did. They threw to Thielen. Thielen had a huge day. And I think he was returning from his injury as well. And the Saints were like, go right ahead. See if he's fine. And luckily for the Vikings, Thielen turned out to be fine. But yeah, Diggs was not happy in this game at all. I think he had the first touchdown against the Niners in their following playoff game, and then
a long bomb, and then they just didn't throw. Yeah,
then it was it.
Yeah. You know, Adam Thielen did the same thing, but he cried on Kirk's podcast and they went to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, he did that at the end of the 2018 season. That infamous sideline shot. I think you can find a gif of it actually.
Just goes this way.
When they're losing to, was that when they were losing to
the Bears?
Matt Barkley, was that year? Was Trubisky in that game just to mess them up?
Feel like the Bears played the first half.
I think they did play their starters. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they were like, "Yeah, we don't care." So and the Vikings still couldn't beat them.
Nope.
Cousins eventually found it in the third quarter, connected with Thielen on a long pass for throwing a dart to Diggs on 3rd and short. Cook's second touchdown of the game put the Vikings up 20-10. Then the Vikings held on for dear life. They were up by 10 entering the fourth quarter, which is odd because they were up by 10, or they were trailing by 10 in the miracle game.
Well, they're up.
What's that?
They weren't trailing. They were up by 10 in the miracle.
Oh, maybe I misheard Joe Buck then.
I think so. They were up in both games. Remember, they were leading 17-0 in the miracle game, I think. Yeah, I think they were up 20-10 in the game.
I should know, but
yeah, right.
I
don't think you're looking at the scoreboard though.
I was probably double fisting.
You're looking at the beer prices.
But yes, how much do I need to drone this? Because this isn't going well. Riley Reiff had a false start that negated a scoop and score for the Saints at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Taysom Hill caught a touchdown with 10:31 left to make it a 20-17 game. The Vikings responded by calling 5 straight runs before Kirk Cousins incompletion. You think Mike Zimmer trusted Kirk Cousins? Because I don't.
Yes and no. I think this is what Mike Zimmer did. He wanted, this is, you know, they had the lead. They want to drain the clock, give his defense rest. They were running the ball well against the Saints. The Saints did much better in the second half than the first half. I think I saw the first half, the Vikings had over 100 yards, and it was like the first time the Saints gave up 100 yards and a half in like 40 since 2017. So a long time. So they were running the ball well. So the Vikings were like, okay, just keep running the ball. But the Saints did better and stopped them. I don't think Kirk Cousins was like part of this game plan at all until overtime, which is really weird because overtime got started and it was like, okay, Kirk, just start chucking the ball. And it was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Kirk threw a nice pass to Alexander Hollins.
Yep.
It was a nice dart, but he's Alexander Hollins, so he didn't catch it.
Yeah. Sure, Diggs was happy about that.
Yeah. That was the other weird thing about this game. Like, there were so many moments where, like, Cook wasn't on the field and, like, you're throwing Alexander Hollins and Ameer Abdullah's in there.
Tyler Conklin.
Yeah, it was a lot of random guys. But Kirk's like, but hey, they're open. Like,
CJ Ham got a carry. Place. You got a first down.
CJ Ham. The Saints drove into Vikings territory midway through the fourth quarter. Before Hunter forced a fumble that went to the arms of Jalen Holmes, that stopped him there. Dalvin Cook had another fumble that would have been a scoop and score if his knee wasn't down on the turf.
Yep.
Saints fans, the paranoia about the refs was very real at this point. The Saints made the stop on that drive, however, drove into Vikings territory again before Alvin Kamara cost them 10 seconds on a legal shift, and Will Lutz kicked a field goal and he went to overtime. I mean, this is probably the part where a lot of people thought they were going to lose, right?
The Vikings?
Yes.
I think it depended on the coin toss, which is funny to say because of a Vikings-Saints playoff game, which is what happened in 2009. But yeah, I think if the Vikings lost the coin toss, it would not have been good because the Saints, they had momentum. They tied the game. But the Saints were not playing well. Taysom Hill was really the only player that played well this entire game for the Saints. Drew Brees, his noodle arm was in full effect, but he could not throw the ball. Like that Anthony Harris interception was because Drew Brees could not throw the ball that far. He underthrew that ball. He was throwing slants all day to Michael Thomas. He did not look good. The defense, the Vikings were, torching the secondary with Thielen, running up their gut with Dalvin Cook. So I don't know if at the same time, if the Vikings didn't get the ball first in overtime, I think a lot of people would have been like, oh, whatever. Like I said before, not a lot of people expected the Vikings to even be in this game. So them getting the overtime, I think a lot of people were just satisfied with that.
And they win the coin toss. They get the ball first. Unlike Kyle Shanahan, they studied the overtime rules before going in here. And then we have the $100 million throw. Kirk Cousins to Adam Thielen for 41 yards. Yep. Over the back shoulder. Thielen tracks it down.
Better catch or throw.
What's that?
Better catch or throw. I think catch.
It was picture perfect.
It was.
Like, I'm sure Mike McCartney, when he went in to negotiate contracts for Kirk, played this. Like, we don't really know. Do you really know now? Just throw it up on the thing. Like, look at that beautiful ball. That is my client. My client, Kirk Cousins, just throwing it down right there. Yeah. And still, in that moment, it's like, oh, the Vikings are going to win. I did not feel that way. I'm like, oh, my God, we're on the 3-yard line. We still have to score a touchdown. Yeah. This is awful. And three plays and two runs later, Kirk Cousins finds Kyle Rudolph in the back of the end zone, who gives a subtle
tap. They're both being handsy.
What did they say in the Timberwolves game last month? Subtle but effective?
I don't know.
Like I don't know. Just a very, I don't know. Go to your door and see, I'm pushing.
Whatever.
Now just imagine for the YouTube or for the audio audience, I'm tapping the front of my computer screen very like Kyle Rudolph did. And if I'm a 6'5", 265-pound tight end, I'm sure my computer would be at full NFL game speed. I'm sure my computer would be across the room.
But if I was Luka too, I'd be like complaining to the refs if you just breathed on me.
The heater, I need my heaters and my McDoubles. Where are my... Yes.
His beer.
Yes, he definitely needed his beer. The funny thing about that play is, as we mentioned before, this was the year that pass interference was reviewable.
Yeah, yeah.
So like all of us are just sitting there waiting for it to be confirmed.
Thanks
like,
to the Saints.
Are they going to use it? What are they going to do here? They never looked at it and the Vikings won. But that would have been peak Vikings if they looked at that and been like, pass interference.
I would say it kind of just was the theme of the rest of the way they called the game. I don't think they let like receivers and stuff be pretty physical, Saints and Vikings included, and corners and safeties and all this stuff. So like the fact that they didn't call this wasn't like surprising. It probably would have been more surprising if they actually called something on it, because they were letting them compete and whatever. I'm sorry, Saints, you put a 5'10" corner on a 6'4" 240-pound tight end, like, that's your fault. That matchup was over before he even got the ball. So the Saints had plenty of chances to win in regulation. That you mentioned that field goal that Will Lutz missed that came into play, because if he makes that, they can win in regulation. The Kyle Rudolph catch, it was kind of surprising, though, that they didn't review it, especially because they were in New Orleans. So, was that the year? No, that wasn't the year where they sued. They tried to, sue the refs or whatever that was.
That was the year before. Yeah, because that was to go to the Super Bowl and a bigger deal. Like, do you think, I was thinking of this watching the game, did the Vikings win this game or did the Saints lose it?
I think the Vikings won. I think they had a really good game plan going in. Because there weren't a lot of turnovers, right? There was the
right
Anthony Harris pick.
It just felt like the Saints
had the fumble by Drew Brees.
It felt like the Saints had a lot of miscues, I guess.
They did.
Like,
you could say they were overlooking the Vikings for sure, because they were really good that season. I think they won like six or seven games going into this playoff game, so they were feeling pretty good about themselves. And it was home. They're playing the Vikings, who are just, you know, full of turmoil, and they're going to trade their coach or fire their coach if they lose. So they're like, this is easy. It's in the bag. But Mike Zimmer said, nope, I'm going to win this game, because I'm here to win games, not set records.
Yeah, it did not temper the celebration. That was for damn sure, because Kyle Rudolph said on the TV broadcast, I heard Kirk just can't win big games, apparently. This would be the only win of Kirk's career, only playoff win. Stephon Diggs also did the choppa style dance in Sean Payton's face. And then they hugged it out. They bro hugged it. They're like, it's all good. I'm going to be off this team like 3 months. Kirk Cousins had his first "you like that" moment as a Viking. Also, the thing about Kirk in this game was his voice squeaking. People with the headphones are like, oh, why?
he passed a lot in overtime. I think he had like 63 yards. You want to know how many passing yards he finished with in regulation?
Oh, I bet I know it's under 200.
It is. 179 yards and no touchdowns in regulation.
That is Brad Johnson 2006 shit.
Right? Yeah. That's Sean Salisbury and
Rich Gannon.
Yeah.
You could just hear the NFL primetime music in the back.
He gets that 63 yards and touchdown in overtime. And everyone's like, "Whoa, look at the game Kirk had." It's like,
Kirk took it over.
No.
This is your quarterback. Where does this game rank in your favorite Vikings playoff moments?
Oh, let's see. I've been alive since 87. I think I remember 97 as earliest. I kind of have good memories of the Vikings. So that was the Giants, and they lost the Niners in the divisional round. Favorite playoff memories. There's not a lot.
It's kind of wild to think about, isn't it?
It would have to be second, right? Behind the miracle.
So I
what, say what would be what would be second? Like against I guess, I don't know, obliterating the Cowboys in 2009.
So I have on my list Minneapolis Miracle 1. Yeah. Randy Moss's moon. Because that game was just awesome.
Yep.
Like that's just a fun memory. And then kicking the absolute shit out of the Cowboys in 09.
Yeah,
just because of the lead up to it and Pat Williams. We're from the hood. We cranked the windows down.
you weren't super pumped after watching the Vikings kill the Jake Plummer and the Cardinals in 98?
I just don't remember that game. Plus, in hindsight, that game kind of cost them because John Randall got hurt because he was in there for too long.
Yeah.
And John Randall plays against the Falcons. It's probably a different game.
I want to say 2000 was the divisional round against the Saints, and that was the Randy Moss screen where he had like 9 guys chasing after him, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like the 70s and 80s probably had a lot more playoff memories than the last 40 years of Vikings football.
I don't have this above this game, but Blair Walsh's miss is on my list.
It's a memory.
I was at the game. It was sub-zero. Just the whole
afternoon
was ridiculous. Yeah, Bud Grant in a t-shirt. That's like one of the more... The result sucked, but like the overall experience was probably one of the most fun Vikings games I've ever.
Oh, yeah.
You'll
be able to talk about. Didn't Adrian Peterson fumble that game? Because of course
he fumbled a lot. I think 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, because of course he did.
Yeah. The aftermath. The Saints. Drew Brees comes back for one more season in 2020. He will be eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2026. First ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
I feel like he's one of the Saints that I don't hate, but.
Oh, no, I wouldn't put him in that category.
You hate Drew Brees?
There's plenty of off the field reasons why I don't like him.
I'm gonna go good. Yeah, I thought you were
similar.
Okay, I'll Google it off there. But.
Similar to Kirk Cousins.
Yes,
but yeah.
Football player I like.
Yeah, he's all right. Like commentator, don't really
know
fan of his either. No. Like he's kind of just bland.
He invested in the hair plugs and everything, and it just didn't work out.
Did he get his birthmark removed too? Did he do that? I think he did, because I remember, was it Oprah that like tried to wipe it off? I feel like when he came. Have you never seen that?
No. Oh my. Anyway,
she was like, "Oh, you got something on your face."
His only title came after Bounty Gate, so I guess, you know, if you're Viking, I don't know. I'm probably forgetting something big about Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. I would have liked to see him not with this. I guess we did see him not with the Saints, but with the Chargers. But that's like a whole different even era of Drew Brees.
Right.
I just feel like he benefited greatly from playing indoors his whole career and being with Sean Payton. But, you know, Peyton Manning did that too, and Tom Brady with Belichick and McDaniels. So, like, it is what it is.
Just get lucky. The Saints went and signed Taysom Hill to a 4-year, $40 million contract extension. He had a bunch of incentives in there.
I hope so.
He became the quarterbacks. So there was that.
Did they sign Jameis?
Yes. But I think that came after this. I don't know. I didn't have it.
The next offseason was 2020, and that was a pandemic. So
Drew Brees played one more year. Right. So did Jameis play behind Brees, or was it just Teddy?
Teddy went to the Panthers?
Yeah. Oh, and 2020 was the COVID year.
Right. So he went to the Panthers. Yeah, because he played the Vikings in U.S. Bank with no fans.
That's right. Yes.
So Jameis, I think, came as a backup.
Right. So there was that. Saints also went 9-8 in 2021. Sean Payton looked at over the cap and he's like, I'm out. He's still an asshole with the Denver Broncos, as we mentioned. And he also had Kevin James playing with him. So, that's where he is now.
Who is not an asshole now.
The Saints haven't been to the playoffs in the past two seasons. They chased mediocre quarterback play by signing Derek Carr in 2023. Sounds familiar, because the Vikings would go on and get crushed 27-10 in San Francisco the following week. The 49ers went on to lose the Super Bowl when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. You know, it's crazy to me. There's a universe where the 49ers have two Super Bowl wins over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's
Jimmy Garoppolo makes that pass and Kyle Shanahan reads a rule book.
There's a universe where Kyle Shanahan has three Super Bowl rings because he remembers how to call plays in the second half.
He just blacks out late in the Super Bowl. Just
28-3.
We got this. Just run the ball. We're good. Don't worry about it. 2020 offseason. Basically, the Wolves were like Oprah. It's funny you mention her, because everybody got extensions. Kirk Cousins, you get an extension. 2 years, $66 million. Zimmer and Spielman, 3-year extensions. Stephon Diggs traded to Buffalo for what wound up being Justin Jefferson. The Vikings go 15-18 over the next two seasons before Mike Zimmer was fired. Here's what I wonder about this game. Did this game set the Vikings back 5 years?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think it set him back. It died because 2020 and 2021 were pointless. But at the same time, if you don't have those two seasons, you don't get Kevin O'Connell. And I feel like he's a much better fit for this team, this era of football player and everything. And I felt like it was just time anyways for like a new regime to be in there, because, you know, not just Zimmer, but Spielman was there for a while and he had his chances. And towards the end there, his draft classes were terrible. You know, you had Mike Hughes, and he had his final draft class that had the four third round picks, which are all terrible now. Laquan Treadwell and all that stuff. But yeah, I think you could say it set him back. I think an argument can be made both ways. It would have been really interesting to see if Kevin Stefanski took over this team and what could have happened, because I like what he's doing with the Browns now, and I don't know if he wanted Deshaun Watson, but he's also a coach who got to the playoffs last year with what, five quarterbacks with Joe Flacco. So I think he's a really good coach, and I think maybe the Wolves, you know, until they hired Kevin O'Connell, probably regretted letting Stefanski go, because they're looking like, he got to the playoffs first year. I think he was with the Browns with Baker Mayfield, and stuff happened the second year. But yeah, I think if Stefanski goes on to win the Super Bowl before the Vikings do, I think, yeah, you're going to be like, of course the Vikings let him go and win the Super Bowl before them. So yeah,
I agree with you that getting Kevin O'Connell is probably better for this franchise in the long run.
Yeah.
At the same time, it would have been interesting, because what if the Vikings do trade Mike Zimmer to the Cowboys?
Right.
you know, we are talking about Jerry Jones here. I looked it up for an article at Zone Coverage about a year ago, or a year before this all happened. Excuse me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traded a 6th-round pick for Bruce Arians and a 7th-round pick. 20 years before that or so, the Oakland Raiders got two first-round picks and 2 second-round picks for John Gruden.
The Broncos just traded for Sean Payton, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yes, you are correct. Yep. Like, I mean, we're talking about Jerry Jones here. Does he like go, I need that Mike Zimmer on my team. I'm going to give him what they want. Yeah. Like, what if they gave him a 1st-round pick? Like, and this is far-fetched, but it's Jerry Jones we're talking about here. I'm not ruling it out. Like,
do they trade Diggs though?
I think so.
Move on from Zimmer.
Cause that was this fancy offense. So he's probably in there like, I don't want to play this offense.
I think yes and no. I think he was kind of just probably doing a lot with Zimmer wanted him to do because he knew he was going to hear it from him if he didn't. So I think if he was in control, because you look at the Browns offense now, and they're not, I wouldn't say they're run heavy. They run the ball well, and they run probably more than half the league. But like I just said, they had Joe Flacco back there just slinging passes last year to like Amari Cooper and whoever else, that David Njoku. I don't know. I don't know how that would have gone. I'm curious to see, like, if they fired Zimmer, do they extend Kirk Cousins? Do they, you know, trade Stephon Diggs? Do they, you know, did they extend Dalvin Cook that summer too?
They did.
Yeah.
Right before the start of the season.
But that offseason, they also moved on from a lot of people. They moved on from Everson. They moved on from Linval Joseph, Xavier Rhodes. Who else? Tyler Conklin, I think. Was that the year that? No, he had one more year, I think. Because the following year was like, Irv Smith's back. It's going to be his year. And then Tyler Conklin followed out. There's a lot of butterfly effects that came out of this game and could have been differently had, you know, a ball bounced a different way, a foot not stepped out of bounds here or whatever. And I looked it up, like the coaches on each sideline, where they are now, like a lot of them, there's Sean Payton, Dan Campbell, Dennis Allen, Mike Nolan was a former Niners coach. He was on the Saints staff. Aaron Glenn, who's a defense coordinator for the Lions, he was on the staff. On the Vikings, you had Mike Zimmer, obviously. Gary Kubiak was the assistant head coach. Stefanski, obviously, was OC. Clint Kubiak was the QB's coach. Now he's the
Clint offensive, with a K.
Offensive yes. guru and with the Saints.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, with the Saints. Drew Petzing, who's the Cardinals offensive coordinator now. He was the wide receivers coach. And Nick, was it Rollis? Yeah, Nick Rollis. He's the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals, who's also the wrestler's brother.
Madcap Moss?
Yeah, that's his brother. Yeah. He's the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals, too. And then this guy, he's not anywhere now, and it makes total sense. But remember, Marwan Maloof, special teams coach for the Buccaneers. That was a great guy. Zimmer, speaking of guys, Zimmer left.
Got in Zimmer's face and hasn't been seen again.
No, haven't seen him since.
You know, I look at this. I like, if they lose this game, they're going to get a quarterback in the 2020 draft. Like, don't you think?
Yeah, who's in there?
Good question, because I looked it up. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert. They were all gone in the first 6 picks, so probably not. But
well, they could have traded it. Well, not Spielman. Never mind. He wouldn't.
Yeah. You could have. So I assume Diggs gets traded. You get 22 and you get Jefferson no matter what.
Well, you have 2 first-round picks, though.
Yes.
You could have traded.
Well, hey, yes, theoretically. And if Jerry Jones got crazy, you could do a 3rd first-round pick. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, and Dallas had 17. They took CeeDee Lamb with that. So I don't know. Maybe you take Jefferson at 17 and use the other 2 picks to get whatever. But anyway, they had the 25th overall pick. That was their pick going into that draft. They traded down. That's where Brandon Ayuk got took. The Vikings took Jeff Gladney a couple picks later. But you remember who was the 26th overall pick?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers sitting at home with his 4 fingers of scotch.
That would have been a good pick.
Yeah, that would have been a very good pick. Do you know who was taken in the 2nd round of that draft?
I'm going through all the quarterbacks. And it's going to take me too long. You can just tell me.
Jalen Hurts. Oh. They would have had to trade up from 59 to get him because he went 53-ish. But yeah, that would have been another great
pick. Would you have trusted Rick Spielman to take either of those quarterbacks?
No. I wouldn't have trust in Kevin Stefanski to develop those quarterbacks. He hasn't developed a quarterback in Cleveland.
They signed
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, they signed Deshaun Watson, he's not supposed to develop him.
Yeah.
He was supposed to already be good. It was when they traded everything and signed him to a $240 million fully guaranteed deal. Right. Yeah, that would have been, that draft was crazy. That was a good draft.
Yeah. That was a good quarterback draft. Not like, what was it?
Not
what
even quarterbacks. The 2021 receivers.
Draft was like the a receivers gong show.
You mentioned CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk. I know the first few were not that great. Was it Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor.
Jerry Jeudy for half of Justin. Yeah, we'll never know. We'll never know.
Kevin Stefanski. There you go. Another connection.
We're running a little late here, so we'll sit here. I mean, all I was going to say is, you know, there's this game. There was the Zimmer era. This was kind of the end of it. Yeah. There were two more years, but felt like 2022, 2023 were the Kirk Cousins era. And now we're in the Kevin O'Connell era.
Yeah. Or the Justin Jefferson era. Maybe the J.J. McCarthy era.
It's wild to think Kirk Cousins era is only 2 years. He was here for six. Just hung out in the background.
Hey, Mike, you want to have a meet? No. I don't.
You got 45 minutes. Then I got a defensive back.
And we're going to watch all defensive clips, okay? We're not going to watch any of this passing stuff that you want to do. The Viking Age, since it is slow, we're doing some rankings, some all-time rankings. I think we'll be doing receivers and quarterbacks and all that fun stuff because it's June, end of June, almost July 4th holiday. But training camp will be here before we know it, so we'll also write about some stuff probably related to that. So go check it out on thevikingage.com. Follow me, Adam Patrick NFL, on Threads and X.
Well, you can follow me as well at The Real Chris Shad, mainly on X and Instagram. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe, so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.